If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I said earlier on, you are going to be blown away by who we have today. She's funny, she is smart, she is loved. But when I say loved, I mean loved. Do you, seriously, do you know how much people adore you?
You know what? I get surprised every time. Every time it surprises me. But you know what? I receive it and I give it in like. I do. I try.
Is it because the work that you do no longer feels like work?
Oh, it feels like work, girl.
I get that.
Yeah.
But maybe what I'm trying to get at is that sometimes what people respond to is, number one, authenticity.
Yeah.
They respond to true, your genuine self.
Mm-hmm.
You're not putting on anything. You're not being anything other than yourself.
Yeah.
And people respond very, very well to that. So.
Yeah. Continue. It's work.
It's work.
It is work.
Feels like work.
It is work. I think sometimes I'm reminded of not only the mandate of what it is that I do and also the intention behind what I do every day when I get the energy back. Because sometimes I don't feel good, okay? I don't want to make anybody feel good.
That's the question.
And then sometimes the energy that I receive and that feel-good energy reminds me, you know what? There's a purpose to this. And I'm not faking it, but it's a destination. And I always say to people, feel good is not a fluff thing.
Mm.
It's a destination. It's not a place that you get. It's a destination and a journey. You may not be feeling there,
mm-hmm.
but we work our way towards that.
You can will yourself.
You know what I mean? We can will ourselves to that because we make so much space for so many other things. We make space for anxiety. We make space for stress.
Mm.
We make space for so much in our lives, but we forget to actually feel good. And it actually gives me chills because one thing my dad would always tell us, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get chills. He would always tell us, always make yourself happy. And when I was young, I was like, okay, child, I'm a happy child. I don't know what's happening, but sure. But in my adulthood, I realized how much of an effort it is to actually be happy and to consciously live a happy life because there's so many things, not only you must block out, but you must compartmentalize so many things of your life. And on top of that, choose a particular resolution that, you know what, you're not gonna have power over me. I'm going to choose how I work and how I live in this life. So that in itself, I'm like, man, if anything, just me showing up for work already, I feel like I've fulfilled my mandate, yeah.
So how did you stumble upon this purpose? Studying BSc, then psychology. How did you meet your purpose?
I feel like I've been stumbling and falling in a lot of my purpose. But one thing I knew I was smart and I needed to use that in some way. And then science was the route, particularly with varsity and my undergrad. And then I fell in love with psychology. I think I fell in love with it a lot earlier. I didn't think that I would go there. But, you know, my dad, I feel like he was the most brilliant, unqualified psychologist. And, like, him and I would have incredible conversations. His way of analyzing things, analyzing people was absolutely immaculate. And then when I went to varsity, I fell in love with psychology. And I was like, this could be something I want to do. And then I realized as I was doing psychology and that this thing was also taking off, that I don't have a good sense of my own psyche. And if I fall into this, I'm forever going to put myself in the back seat and have other people's psyches, other people's problems be the forefront. So I subconsciously made this decision. I'm going to somewhat sabotage my academic career. Don't do that. Get the degree, people. Okay? Get several of them. Please get them. But I made a subconscious decision that I need to somewhat sabotage this part because if I do it, I'm not going to be able to go back. And funny enough, at that point, radio then was starting to pick up. And even then, I feel like radio chose me in some way. For a long time, radio chose me. And it so happened that I was doing campus radio. Within a month of doing like your Monday to Friday shows, I got picked up on commercial. Commercial happened. And I was like, as long as y'all are paying, I will do the job. Is there money involved? Cool, got you. And then radio happened, and it just happened to take off. And Yeah, it's just been a whirlwind of a journey. And I think, if anything, psychology has helped me to not only analyze people, but to be present with people and to honor the human beings who listen and who take their time out. And whatever issues and problems that they come with, because I come with a lot, and it's a vulnerable and intimate space. And to honor that whatever minute and second I spend speaking to you, I need to honor those seconds. And I think, if anything, that's been a winning formula for me.
We've asked you to select some music.
Oh, child.
And you started with Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Why?
Funny enough, this song, I discovered it in varsity very well late in my life. I was going through my first ever heartbreak. Yes, yes. One kill him fan. That's good, eh? I understand. I said, Dad, when you said no man, I understood. I said, Ningolile. So, I discovered this song, and I was like, you know what? I need to let it go, because I held on to a lot of things, apologies I didn't get, which I'm still waiting for. Send me an email. My email's the same. My social media's the same. You can apologize still. But also, just I realized how life literally can freeze while you wait for an apology, while you wait for, you know, I was wrong, don't do me. It will never happen. And I need you to let it go. Just let it go. And funny enough, also with a lot of things that happen in the industry, there's lots of apologies I will never get. You can still apologize. I just want to let that out. You know, as much as I've accepted and I've let it go, you can still apologize. Is the mic on, Eddie? Okay. You can still apologize. I just want to... Okay. Because you all know this. We meet our heroes. We meet people. And people are rude. You people are rude. And you can apologize still. But nonetheless, I have resolved to let it go. Let it flow. Because I can't... Me and my likeness, I cannot hang on to those things. Because I became a bitter person. I stumbled on depression, child. I went to therapy. And my therapist, my first session, I remember I said to her, I don't know why I'm here. So you're going to have to tell me why I'm here. And it took a whole month to figure out, okay, I'm holding on to a lot of things. And I've realized a lot of us, we internalize so many things. And I internalize a lot. And it shows up in my body. It shows up in so many things. And this song was a big part of my playlist to just remember to just let it go and remind myself why I'm here and what my path is and what my happiness is as well. But y'all can still apologize. Continue. Next question.
The next song that you've selected is?
Which one is it?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, Missy. Missy Elliott was healing for me. Mm-hmm. Because I was a young child. I was plump. I was a little plump. I had some skin on me. And if you know, if you grew up plus size, being, you know, the fat child in the family, one, you are shamed for it. Mm-hmm. Adults are cruel. Mm-hmm. Your peers are cruel.
Adults can be cruel.
Very cruel.
Oh, of course.
Very cruel. And you know what? The other thing is that I realized there was a big disparity. I think the adult females were very critical of my body because of their own insecurities. And then adult men were extremely creepy. You're 50. Why are you talking to me as a 10-year-old? As a 10-year-old? Stop doing that. Stop doing that. So for me, Missy Elliott for me was freeing, because I knew that I was going to be in the arts industry. I didn't know in what capacity. Mm-hmm. But then I always thought, in some capacity, how am I going to do this? Because I'm a plus size girl. I want to sing. I wanted to be all this creative person. Then Missy Elliott was on my screen. Plus size girl, dark skinned, creative. Mm. And she's literally, yay, she packs a punch. Mm. She is amongst her peers doing it, being her creative self and really and truly living in her purpose. And I said, that's what I need to see. So Missy Elliott was freeing for me. And I feel like she opened the door to who I am. So I don't know which one you picked, but let's dance.
So Andy, I was telling someone that you are the youngest presenter here.
I think me and Tyraline, we're tied. Representing the youth, it's hard, so hard. But somebody must do it.
I mean, you've been doing this for a while, though, Andy.
Yeah, it's been
not a new thing for you. So
14 years now.
It's been long enough for you to feel like
senior.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, this one doesn't mean that you are junior
yes.
in your role. That's not it.
But, yes.
So, as do you feel like this country sees you Ooh. As a young person?
You know what? Funny enough, I was doing an interview with also one of the Standard Bank Youth Award winners
yeah.
for dance.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how the cohort between 1990 till about 1995, 96, we feel like we're the missing middle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we are in the middle of one older generation somewhat... criticizing us for the experiences that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then also now having to be at the forefront of a lot of experiences that one, other people don't have, mm-hmm. our elders don't have. And also having to teach a lot of things and ways of being.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel one, underrepresented as mm-hmm. well as scrutinized. I feel like we are very scrutinized.
Do you feel misunderstood?
100%. 100%. I think there's experiences I will never have. I wish that I was, you know, old enough for, you know, experiencing Brenda Fassie in a prime. I wish.
Oh my goodness, that's so interesting.
I don't have that experience. And I'll never have that. But then guess what?
Yeah.
Everybody will crucify me to the cross for not having that.
Oh,
and I'm like, what do you suggest
what
I
do
about that?
Yes.
Shall I be reborn?
Yeah.
I only know one man. I only know of one man. Who decided to be born via immaculate circumstances. So for me, I do feel very scrutinized as a young generation, particularly 91, that generation.
What do you feel like you've missed?
Ooh, I think it's survivor's guilt? It's a form of survivor's guilt that one, I didn't experience
yes.
the harshness of apartheid.
Ah.
I came during, you know, the parts where, you know, our country was now beginning to form as a freed nation.
Mm.
And I've reaped the benefits of that. And we're the generation that's telling a new story. And unfortunately, we don't have that experience and the trauma to tell the full length of it. But I don't think we need to have the trauma.
Mm.
I think our parents had it enough. And I believe my parents, at least, taught me the depth and the importance of actually understanding how much it was fought for, how much they experienced under it. I think I saw even, I think the next generation of us, we saw subtle racism, which I think might have even been worse.
Mm.
I think being in schools, your Model C schools.
I get it. I get what you're saying.
Hey, it is a traumatic experience.
I'm
still unwiring
yeah.
today because you are... You belong because you're there, but they don't treat you as if you belong, and you
totally
constantly have to fight for your space, and to now be in a space, black spaces, where you also don't belong. Because are you a coconut? What is that? And you're like, but it's me, guys. It's me. Can we just all get along? What's happening? So you always have to fight for your identity and your space, and I think I've just resolved not to. Y'all will be okay. You guys will just be okay.
No one here, you know, is going to deny knowing that is Selby.
Dr. Selby, my fave! Oh, my
All
gosh.
Of our faves. But we've lost him. He's going to be back.
He's going to call again.
He's going to be back. What gets you going? So as you said earlier, you know, you don't always feel like you are the resemblance of joy and this person that actually is going to give us all lightness during the day.
Yes.
And you do, actually.
Thank you.
And I think it's important because, boy, South Africa is tough. It's tough.
And every day.
It's tough. It's
every
tough.
Day.
And do you get the sense that you are carrying a people that is hurt, that is going through the most.
Absolutely.
And you are that little light during the day. Do you feel that way, Tony?
I absolutely do feel that way. And I think the biggest part of making this thing work has been to, one, not avoid reality. I think for a long time, I did avoid reality. It was good time. I had a good time in La La Land. But at some point, you've gotta meet the two worlds. The happy land as well as reality. And I think with what I do, we bring reality in it.
Yeah.
Yes, my day sucks.
Yeah.
Yes, I just got called into a meeting that could have been an email. Yes, my boss just spoke to me, which they shouldn't have ever. But we're going to feel good. It's by fire and by force. We're going to do it. Because at the end of the day, we make space for everything else. And we're going to make space for feeling good. We deserve it. Mm. So for me, I make space for whatever your reality is. You come in. Some people even come in with voice notes. I ask you, what's making me feel good? People say, babes, I'm not feeling good. Here's what happened. Mm. And most of the times, most of our listeners have solutions for it. Oh, actually, you should try this. You should try this. And that's why I say feeling good is a journey. Mm. And it's a destination that you will get to in your own time, as long as you are in that mindset that, you know what, I'm not here for a long time. I'm going to feel good at some point.
We've got Dr. Selby back on the line. Dr. Selby?
Hi, Pamela, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure. Andy?
Hi, Dr. Selby.
How are you, Andy?
I'm good, Dr. Selby. Hearing your voice makes me blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah.
Hi. Namukuzwa ivoice yakho ngalesikhathi. Ngiyabusisa impela. Nathi kushoda lesihleko sakho.
Ugalileke. Have you seen Dr. Selby dance?
I saw Dr. Selby dance. There was a video that went viral.
Feels good.
But I also want to tell you how I noted how Dr. Selby melts when he speaks to you. Did you hear that? Did you hear the tone change? Did you hear?
Wait, so how does he speak to you?
Dr. Selby is always talking about problems. When we talk.
You know, Dr. Selby feels like a father to me. He really feels like a father figure to me.
Dr. Selby, we've got you now. Rabona.
Yes.
Rabona. We can see you.
Ngingu baby girl, I'm the youngest. Give me.
Yeah, no. Every time there is a favorite daughter in the house.
You know what, Dr. Selby, as a middle child, I receive this. I have never been the favorite. I will claim this. God, thank you. I'm someone's favorite. Oh, Lulu! Is this on? Are we recording this? I'm someone's favorite child. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Dr. Selby. You're my favorite father figure, Nyabo.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Dr. Selby. Thank you for calling.
Oh,
no, thank you. Stay blessed.
Stay blessed,
Dr. Selby. I love him.
For me, I think it's such an incredible thing. We are so privileged.
Yeah, we are.
This relationship with people we don't even know.
100%.
But we know.
Yes.
You know, there was a time, he's gone now, but there was a time, I think, that Dr. Selby didn't call the station for about a month.
I remember that time.
And we
all
wanted to know.
Where is he?
Isn't
are you okay?
Where isn't
I remember.
Selby?
I think every show was asking, where isn't Dr. Selby? If you're in contact, let us know.
Dr. Selby? And that's because the privilege, you know, of being in someone's car, someone's home, someone's life,
true.
Every single day is such a gift.
It is.
You know?
It really is. And it's a privilege. It really is. I think if anything, for me, I've realized if I'm going to pour into people, pour something that they can be proud of, and on top of that, something that will, it's a seed for something more. And for me, if I get to make you feel a little bit better and pour something positive into your life, I feel like that can make other things grow. Mm-hmm. And that's my contribution.
You've chosen my babuzi.
Goodness.
Aren't they, how old were you?
I think I was around 13, 14.
Okay, not too young.
Mapapuzi, I feel like for me, was my entry into loving Kwaito. It was between Mapapuzi and 50-50. Because Mandoza, child. You raised me, okay? He raised me. My older brother, he was into music a lot. He had an Astra, a red one. The speakers pimped out. I was like, I love this life. Are we rich? What's happening? I thought we were poor. What's happening? And then he loved Kwaito music. He loved hip hop. And Mapapuzi was always Mandoza. And then we got into 50 Cent. That era, amazing times. And Mapapuzi for me just felt like, man, life is going to get good. It just felt like life is going to get good. And mind you, I wasn't in the resurgence of Kwaito. But
yes,
when I caught on,
amazing.
I said, this is a good time. So Mapapuzi for me always makes me feel good.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Spiso is in David, and you know Spiso.
Hi, Spiso.
Hello, Spiso.
Hi, Undani.
Why are you polite? Oh, Jepsogo. Waze wa polite.
Yeah, yeah.
Mara magu 12 to 3. Uyeninda. Green snake in the green grass. Hi, Swiss, how are you?
That energy. Yeah?
I don't know. You know what? I feel like, yes, I'm just an inherently happy person. So, like, when I feed off people's energies, it just, the happiness just comes, you know? If only
you
knew.
You are forever heavy. Like, literally.
Oh. Gabong. Thank you so much, Raspiso. Thank you. You know, the funny thing is that this year, at least I think towards middle of last year, into this year, I prayed and asked, you know, God to reveal what my purpose is, just so that I can be aligned. Because I've been floating. Everything's worked. I'm very grateful. But I've been floating. And a colleague of mine, very randomly, like 2 weeks ago, she says to me, you know, Andy, you bring out people's inner child. And I said, Nakia, there it is. And sometimes the inner child can be traumatic for people. Mm. And I've realized for me, I'm a polarizing person. You either like me a lot or you cannot stand me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are people who, la, 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 twa, can't stand it. Yeah, I'm a very polarizing person. You either like me or you don't. And I feel like maybe that's what it is. That maybe I bring out your inner child and your inner child might be traumatic for you, you know? And it's not a good experience for you. Whereas for other people, the inner child is something that they've been wanting, you know, to bring out and to be reminded of that self. And I feel like I said, maybe that's what it is.
Has it bothered you that there are people who are just...
It did in the beginning. It did. But a lot of my dad's words have really resonated, especially in my adulthood, that, you know what, unless I'm money, nobody's going to like me. And I remember my sister used to have this very same problem, specifically when she was in school, because she has a very stank face. She's gorgeous, but just normally her face looks like she's angry. And then, you know, her teachers, a lot of people would say she's mean and whatever. And my dad would say, please, don't you ever stop being who you are. And if kutwa unechiki or whatever, ubenechiki, be that person. Because at the end of the day, you can't change who you are. You never bend and mold yourself for whoever is around. You be who you are. And if people are bothered, then be bothered. In Jesus' name.
And how did that shift come about for you?
Oh, to be honest, it came with interacting with humans. I think I definitely was a lot more conscious of it in the workspace. Because I think, one, being on radio, you are vulnerable. It's a vulnerable space. I'm bringing myself. So if people don't like you don't like me.
Yeah.
I remember I used to look down people, the comments on social media.
Do you still
read them? No, not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Good.
But I do make a conscious effort to respond, because I understand how it takes time for people to actually comment. The good things. Sure. But then I would see negative comments and it would...
And trolls.
Oh, yeah. It would affect me for days. For days on end. And then I'll go into people's profiles. I'm like, I understand why you're hating. It makes a whole lot of sense. With a nose that wide, I would hate too. I'm just... Did I lie? I'm just saying, sometimes it makes sense. I too would also be a hater. So some people are just not happy with this. It makes sense. If my hairline was that far back, I would be mad every single... every single... I would be mad. No, really, sometimes it happens. People are just unhappy with themselves. And for me to be a happy person in my big body, in my imperfections, it bothers people. And I can't control that. I'm going to be who I am. But, you know.
You're a praying girl?
I am.
So your next song, Joy Celebration, gave us that that hint.
Absolutely.
Where does
you know
it
what?
Take you?
It takes me home. My dad was, he comes from a Pentecostal era. So when it comes to singing, knowing all the hymns, very important.
Yes.
We would literally have singing sessions for like 2-3 hours. He would teach us the hymns line by line.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He would be like, you are alto, you are soprano, you are a tenor.
Wow.
This is your part. Repeat after me. Repeat 3 hours. But mind you, I was a perfect student, so I'd be like, guys, why aren't you getting it? Can we sing? Can we sing? So Umbedesho, Tina, in our church, we call it Siak Dumisa, because they have the shortened version of a joy celebration. This song is 30 minutes, by the way.
Yes, it is.
So he would make sure that we know every single line of this particular song. It's 30 minutes, by the way. It's a 30, and there's no repeats, by the way. So for me, it takes me home. It takes me to those moments where we sing as a family. And hear my dad as he pays. Oh! And how it all came together, and just how we were so spiritually covered as a family and as kids, and you know, just that thing of having a spiritual basement. My dad used to always say the reason why kids come into the world with their fists closed is because God gave them their gift and their talent, and your gift, your purpose in this life is to hold on to that and not let the world stray you from that gift. So for me, that is my gift, and I'm so proud and I'm so grateful that my parents gave me that, a spiritual base, so that for the days that they're not here, I can pray and I feel connected to them, to my family, to who I am. And
Andy, you are such sunshine.
Thank you.
You are a true north. Thank you for what you gift us in your own sense of self.
Yeah.
Because it has to be authentic for us to receive it.
Yeah.
And you do that so effortlessly.
Sure.
It's amazing to watch you. And I think for those who don't know you away from the mic, she's the same on the mic, behind the mic.
Period.
Off the mic.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. You
Thank
are
you.
Just sunshine.
Gabong.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Well,
this
so
is an
short.
Honor.
So short.
We should do another one.
We should.
As a representative of the youth. You
Thank
know.
You.
I should thank you. Thank you, Pamela.
We'll
I
be back
you.
On Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.